This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 42 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. We've talked on this podcast a fair bit about both outsourcing and offshoring some or all of your service delivery as one way you can scale your MSP. Outsourcing is where you subcontract to a third party, so this might be a master MSP or an outsourced NOC. And offshoring is where you establish your own office for your MSP in another country. So in episode 3, I talked to James Vickery of Benchmark 365 about the process he went through to offshore his MSP from Australia to the Philippines. And more recently, I spoke to Martin Hawk in episode 38 about how he outsources everything. He's the only employee in his company. He focuses on sales and relationship building, and he outsources everything else, including technical service delivery. Shortly after that episode with Martin aired, I was reading an article in CRN Magazine about master MSPs. And in the article was a quote from my guest today, Todd McWilkin of Air IT. And in that article, he says he does not recommend outsourcing service delivery for any MSP. I thought that was an interesting counterpoint to some of the ideas and issues we've been discussing here. So I asked Todd if he'd be willing to chat with me about why he thinks outsourcing is not the way to go. That's where our conversation today starts, but where we end up is in looking at the Service Desk Institute, SDI, and their Service Desk Certification, SDC, and how the SDI methodology can help you optimize your processes, optimize your teams, optimize your service delivery, and achieve great profitability with service delivery in-house. SDI has traditionally been focused on enterprise IT teams, not MSPs, which I think is why we don't hear them talked about all that often in MSP circles, at least in the sort of small to mid-size MSP circles. But Todd and his Air IT team has done the SDC, the certification, and is working closely now with SDI to provide MSP input on their process and certification criteria. He calls SDI a hidden gem for MSPs, and based on my conversation with Todd, I have to agree. So that's coming up in a few minutes. But first, our One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business. Today, we have Aaron Marks of ArcSource Consulting.
Hi, my name is Aaron Marks, and I am the number two person at ArcSource Consulting here in Berkeley, California. My one thing is when we recognized the importance of separating reactive roles from proactive roles and realizing that if there's somebody who's dealing with reactive stuff, there's always going to be more reactive stuff. And that prevents us from getting to the proactive stuff that's important but not urgent. For people that are doing proactive roles, we make a point of not assigning them reactive tasks. And once we divided those two pieces out, we found that we were able to assign attention and energy and make progress on things that are important but not urgent. 75% of our company is proactive. We like to joke that we're actually proactive. It's an overused buzzword and it's on the front page of every one of our competitors. But proactive is really in our DNA. 75% of our company is in a non-reactive role. Really, the reactive folks are the help desk and only part of the help desk. And everyone else's job is to reduce noise for the help desk. And so on the help desk side, most of what we're doing is reactive, but we also have moves, adds, changes. And we made up a silly acronym. We called it System Handling Moves, Adds, Changes, just so that we could call it SHMAC, which we all like to say, and it's fun. And so the SHMAC tickets are important, but it doesn't really matter if I do them right now this minute or an hour from now, or if I do them next Thursday, as long as they're done before a deadline. So for example, if there's a new hire coming on board, it doesn't matter if the new hire is coming a week from next Thursday, it doesn't matter if I get them all set up right here and now, or if I do it tomorrow or the day after. And so because that's a less reactive kind of role, we have a different person assigned just to SHMAC tickets. What it's done is it's increased our ability to respond to and deal with the fires in a way that is really reactive without letting those fires stop us from doing all the other stuff that's important. Having the proactive roles in our company, that's something we're focusing on every day. We're looking at how can we reduce the noise, reduce not just putting out the fire, but figuring out, how did this fire start? Where did it come from? And making sure that we can react to that as well. Part of it, for sure, I have to give credit to True Methods. We are believers, and we organize our company following some of their organizational structures. So having, for example, the project team separate from the help desk team, separate from the proactive services kind of network assessment team, and separate from the consulting side. So we got some of that from True Methods. And then a lot of it was just born out of our own frustration of not being able to deal with the important but not urgent, because we were constantly firefighting. And so getting those people out from under that role allowed us to make that change. It's tricky. In small business, we all wear a lot of hats. And we also realized we can't have any mission critical role that only has one human assigned to it. There needs to be redundancy. It was a really tricky balancing act of making sure that all of the roles that we play have at least two people assigned to being able to do that. But then at the same time, trying to minimize hats so that you don't have somebody that's wearing three hats or four hats trying to do all the different things. It manifested as just a very complicated spreadsheet. But that's how we were able to figure out how to break those into groups.
What's one thing you've done that's moved the needle for your MSP business? It could be big, it could be small. Maybe you tweaked one of your web pages and saw some good results. Tell us about what you did. Maybe you implemented a meditation program like the one we talked about in episode 5 and experienced some productivity and wellness improvements with your team. Whatever it is, tell us about your one thing in a voice memo and email the recording to franklymsp@ovic.com. Or if you prefer, just shoot me a note at the same email address, franklymsp@ovic.com, and we can set up a time to record over the phone. As thanks for sending in your clip, we'll send you a Frankly MSP t-shirt. And of course, you'll be podcast famous because you'll be on the show.
You're listening to Frankly MSP. Brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Now we come to my interview with Todd McQuilkin, the founder and CEO of an MSP called Air IT, based in the UK. Air IT has 58 employees and manages about 6,900 users. As we'll hear from Todd in this interview, Air IT has been working with the methodology and framework from the Service Desk Institute for about 3 years now, and it has really helped them improve their efficiency and profitability. We dig into some of those details. Todd is so passionate about the process, about SDI and their standards and what they can do for an MSP business that he has launched a second company called Air MSP. And this company is focused on helping other service providers through the SDC certification process that he went through. Hi, Todd. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
I reached out to you a couple of weeks ago because I saw an interesting comment that you had made in CRN magazine. So, you know, we've done a couple of episodes on this podcast about outsourcing and offshoring some of your service delivery as one way you could scale an MSP. But what intrigued me about your comment was that you said MSPs should not be doing that. Can you tell us why?
I think the first thing we need to do really is clear up possibly some discussion points that might come out of this conversation. And the first one is the difference between outsourcing and offshoring. What we're talking about here is outsourcing and not offshoring.
Okay. Yeah. So on the podcast, we've distinguished between outsourcing, meaning you are giving your service delivery to a third party, another company, offshoring, meaning that you set up your own office in another country.
Yes, I'm not in favor of either because of the problem with cultural integration. If you offshore it, even if you 100% own the business and you control that MSP, you still have a problem with cultural integration. But we'll focus on the outsourcing piece today, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Right, okay. I think it goes back to the question of why. Why are you building an MSP? Are you trying to build sustainability, long-term value, a safe place for your people to thrive? If you're serious about the customer experience, and you want to leave a legacy. And I think if you start to outsource your core components, which I feel the core components in MSP in today's market is your NOC, your desk. They are key components and soon to be SOC for certain MSPs. You know, if they get up to the level where you can deliver more an MSSP service rather than MSP service, then those are core components that you need to really have complete control over. And if you start to outsource those pieces, then I believe that you short term, you may certainly make more money. And I think there's evidence that short term profits are higher. There's no doubt about it. But long term, I would argue, and I haven't seen any particular data. It's just the companies that I work with that I know are maturing and delivering service themselves are starting to turn a corner now and get their profits up, which is always a struggle when you're trying to build it yourself. because obviously it costs more money to do that. So if you're trying to build sustainability and more value in your business, I'm in favor of keeping it in-house.
And you mentioned in the article that I saw and that you were quoted in that it's also about differentiation and branding in the market. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, of course it is. Because at the end of the day, we are in the service industry, right? Our vehicle happens to be technology. And we use BI to help drive that vehicle for our clients, right? You need to control the whole customer experience. And I mean the whole customer experience. There's so many different touch points when it comes to this. If you outsource those key components within that customer experience journey, then it puts a kink in your armor. It means that when you start to get out of small business and move into small enterprise and you've lost control of those pieces, it's very, very difficult to deliver a quality customer experience. It's so important for your brand. You have to differentiate yourself. One of the hardest pieces for an MSP to get right is delivering a consistent quality service. We have no best practice until recently. There's never really been any formal best practice that we can follow to help us build this piece ourselves without outsourcing it to a master MSP.
So there's a couple of different things that you've touched on there. So you did mention there is some research, and I think it's from Paul Dippel at Service Leadership, that says that MSPs who outsource some or all of their service delivery are more profitable. You also mentioned that you're starting to see MSPs who have kept their service delivery in-house turning the corner on profitability. So obviously, if you're going to keep your services in-house, then you've got to get really good at it. You've got to get efficient. You've got to get consistent. You've got to make good use of automation. And I know that you have done something that's a little different in this area. So tell us about that.
I've always kept my ears peeled to the ITSM space, which is the IT service management space, which is really designed around internal enterprise desks. I mean, the service desk industry has been around for like 18, 20 years now, but they have a standard for best practice. It's a standard that's based around 9 core concepts. And it's really what we had been looking for. I realized at a very early stage that if we were going to build this ourselves, and we had to. Again, it's all about the customer experience, and service is a really important piece of that for us, our service delivery. And we knew that if we were going to be able to crack this and get out of what Gary Peaker calls that reactive spiral of death, then we needed to be able to have more process. We need to be standardized, and we needed to follow some sort of best practice. Now, if you buy into ITIL, which we do, and a lot of MSPs do once they mature, it's just a framework. You take pieces of it. And especially with ITIL 3, it was very difficult for MSPs to adopt, so it's embedded in the culture. Because like ISO 20000 and 27000, well, not so much 27001, but 9001, you can just put a template in. You don't have to follow that process, and you'll still get the certificate at the end of the year. Whereas with SDI and the SDI certification, you have to embed that best practice in your business, and you have to live it every day. That's absolutely key. And the 9 concepts cover leadership, policy and strategy, people management, resources, processes and procedures, managing employee satisfaction, managing customer experience, a real key piece, social responsibility, and management information and performance results. Now, all 9 concepts I've just mentioned there, I'm sure will ring true to any MSP that is struggling to build their own service piece. And we adopted this 3 years ago now, and we were serious about embedding it into our business. And that's what we've done. And it's made a tremendous difference to how we operate. Yeah, we're not perfect. We still make lots of mistakes, but we are getting process, and we're standardizing, and we're able to scale. The key component, we're able to scale without it becoming chaos. And that's been key for us.
Let's unpack this a little bit. So SDI, you mentioned, that's Service Desk Institute, right?
Yes.
And they're this organization that is sort of, as you say, standardizing these processes. And AirIT has achieved SDI certification.
Yes, we have 3-star desk.
How long did that process take? And what were some of the most difficult areas for you?
We started this process about 3 years ago. We started sort of working to their best practice because it's open source methodology. You don't even have to be a member of SDI, and you can still take this information off their website and start following this. And then what we did is we had to go through a pre-certification audit, right? And at that stage, we get assessed, and we have an external auditor that comes in and they assess us for 2 days. And the thing is, you have to provide evidence. You can't just say you do things. You actually got to provide evidence. And that's really key, because a lot of these certifications you do, you can wing it, really, to be honest. So with SDI, you can't do that. And basically what happens is they go away, they give you a score, and you've got to get over a certain score to actually qualify. You get a big report, and then you've got a certain period of time, 9 months, to get your house in order. And then they come back for a four-day audit. It's an extremely tough process. And they interview your clients, they interview your employees, they discuss process with them. You have to have your own mission and vision statement for the department that flows into the corporate vision and mission. It has to be embedded in your business, and you have to be using it every day, otherwise you will not get certification. And a lot of companies fail first time around, a lot of companies, because they're not ready.
You mentioned that SDI, Service Desk Institute, was built and targeted to in-house corporate IT teams. So was it an awkward fit for them to come and assess your MSP? Were there adaptations that you needed to make?
Well, there were some challenges, there's no doubt about it. They weren't showstoppers. Interestingly enough, 56%, I believe, 56% of certified technology companies through the SDC certification process are actually enterprise MSPs. So they are bigger MSPs. Public services, internal IT desks, and enterprise are under 50% of certified. So it's like a hidden gem, because small business MSPs never look outside their own circle of safety. And we have a lot to learn from ITSM. I mean, they're talking about automation, machine learning, all these things that we're just starting to talk about. They're 12, 16 months into that already. Some service desks have already got AI, logging tickets, resolving tickets, certain issues. All the problem management is done by automation. And we're learning all this from the ITSM space, which SDI, the Service Desk Institute, is sort of their community. And they are the official governing body, if you like, for the certification. That is worldwide, incidentally. They are in the Middle East, they're in Mexico, South America. They're not haven't got any traction in the US or Australia or New Zealand, but they've got huge traction in the UK. And the MSPs are starting to buy into it now, because they realize that this is the only standard out there that can help them deliver this piece himself. Because, the other problem is, which I haven't mentioned, and we go back to the beginning, is that by outsourcing our desk, our NOC and our SOC to a master MSP, are we not outsourcing our key components to a future competitor?
In what sense would they be a competitor?
That master MSP could be the biggest MSP for small businesses in the world. What you're doing is, if you're outsourcing to a master MSP, you are becoming a reseller of MSP services. You are not a true MSP. You can only be a true MSP if you deliver core components of MSP services yourself. How can you be a true MSP if you resell those services? Because that's what you're doing. It's like calling a VAR an MSP. They're not.
Yeah, interesting point there.
And it's not just me that thinks that. I've heard that from, I'm not sure his name, I can't recall it, but there's a guy in America who has said similar things, and I've heard it a few times. Don't get me wrong, I see why companies can do it, why they do it, and it does definitely give you better profitability short term. There's no doubt about it. Paul Dipple has got lots of evidence to suggest that. But if you're trying to build the sustainability and you do look to sell one day, you will get more multiples for your company if you're delivering those services yourself. The problem we've got is that when these MSPs get to about 2 million turnover and they want to sell, they're getting bought by bigger companies that are only prepared to pay 2 or 3 multiples for their companies when they thought they were getting a lot more. Now, I believe if you're delivering these core components yourself and a great customer experience, you have a high retention, you've got skill in-house, you can command 10 to 15 EBIT multiples for your company. And the problem is, if you're down at those 3 or 2 and you've outsourced those pieces, then all that a company's going to do is come in and rip it apart and take your base. And then everything you've built will be gone.
Yeah, interesting. Could you see a scenario where an MSP, say it's a 1 or 2 person shop, just trying to gain some traction, they use outsourcing initially to kind of gain some momentum and then bring it back in-house? Or would it be better to just start from the beginning in-house?
It is a very difficult question because I'm not in their position. And I certainly see the advantages of doing just that and outsourcing it. The problem comes is if, again, you go back to the question of why. Why am I here? What am I building? Right? And if the answer is short-term profit, sell, get my base, make a little bit of dollar, then that's obviously the best way to go. But if you really want to build something special, then I think you need to go through the pain. We had to learn for ourselves, and it was tough till we found SDI a few years ago, and it's still been tough, don't get me wrong, and we're still not perfect, but we can see light at the end of the tunnel. So the thing is, if you're that small company and you do want to build something special and you do outsource and it becomes like you just keep doing it because it makes it easier and you're growing, you're making money, then it comes to bringing it in, then you might have challenges that you weren't expecting to face. If you can get them back in, depends on what contract you're in with the master MSP, because no doubt they will be quite aggressive in their approach on retaining those MSPs. I think a small MSP that has grown and want to bring it in might have different challenges or might be delaying the challenges they would have had if they'd actually decided to do it themselves in the first place. The thing now is that they've got help because what I'm doing now with my consultancy practice is sharing our experiences in AIT based on the SDI standard and our best practice. And we're putting it into a 12-month course and we're running Center of Excellence for Service Delivery on a 12-month program and helping companies get the foundations in place to decide whether they want to take this forward or not and grow their own service piece.
So I wanted to go back to something you quoted a few minutes ago, which is that over half of the certified companies through SDI are large MSPs, which I find very interesting. So this does have some traction in the managed services space, but what I'm hearing from you is right now it's at that very large level. What are you seeing in the small to mid-sized business in terms of pickup and awareness around SDI?
We've just come back from their conference last week, which is a 3-day event with loads of thought leadership. And again, it's outside MSP thought leadership. So it's completely different, but it's innovative. And I took my Center of Excellence group there this year, and they learned a hell of a lot from it. And SDI are telling me they have record numbers of MSPs in the UK joining this year. I've noticed more and more are putting PR out saying they've joined SDI. You know, when it comes to getting to the heart to sort of when you move into small enterprise and you start getting into tender processes, one of the great things about SDI at the SDC certification and being involved in SDI is that the internal IT departments, the enterprise IT departments, recognize that. So when you go into the tender process and you're showing that you're involved with them and you got their certification or you won their awards, they respect you because they know that's a tough certification to get or that's a tough award to win. So these guys must be doing things right. And when it comes to a neck and neck competition, you might beat a bigger company because you've invested that time in the SDC program or the SDI.
Yeah, great. So value as a marketing tool, what other benefits are you seeing having now achieved that SDI certification? Would it make a difference to your profit margins or growth rates or anything along those lines?
The key thing for us is we're able to scale, right? Something that we struggled with in the past because we've always been very good at bringing in new clients. We retain clients. We have over 95% retention on our clients and we grew again at 30% this year and we're bringing in clients all the time. We're very active with our marketing and we get a lot of warm leads in. So we had to be able to scale. And again, as all MSPs will tell you, the desk is so difficult. You've got like 150 tickets coming in and 120 calls or incidents, and you're trying to resolve those as quick as you can without them reopening and making sure you communicate. And you're working in multi-tenancy environments. It can be chaos in there. One thing that SDC and following the best practice has enabled us to do is to give us the standardization, the process, we understand, because people are all part of this as well, you know, a key component for all this. It's made us understand how to work with our people, how to engage them more. And it's just made the place an easier place to be able to scale, which means that growing at 30% is just bring in. And now, because we're not having to bring in resources all the time to scale, which is what most MSPs have to do, right? Because we don't have to do that anymore, we are able to build that EBIT up, right? And that's what's happening. And when I started this journey, I was at 3 or 4% EBIT. And I'm not ashamed to say it, but I know I was putting a lot of investment into building this service piece. And now we're sitting at nearly 14%. In the next few years, we'll be at 17, 18%. I've got no doubt about it. And our headcount per employee, that's the other thing. We're nearly at 7 million and we're at 58 employees. The revenue per employee is getting better. Whereas before, we were down at like 90K per employee or something. All these things are helping us because we can consistently deliver a quality, standardized service to our clients based on the methodology we put in our business, the SDI, the SDC stuff.
You mentioned that membership in SDI is free, and I assume the process of certifying is also free?
No, not at all. The standard is on their website, which is free. You can download the standard, but which, by the way, has just been reviewed. Their new version is out now, version 4. And the best thing is we've been able to influence the standard so it's better suited to MSPs. So Simon Smith, who works for me in my consultancy practice, has been on the review team of SDI because they've come to us and said, we want to make this, because we've gone through the process. We knew there were bits of the certification, like an internal customer and an external customer, for instance. There's two different, and ours are all external customers, whereas an internal service desk is internal customers. So trying to get information from 400 customers can make it challenging when they're all different environments and everything, you see, to satisfy the certification process in one of the criteria. So they've released it now. They haven't lessened the standard or made it favorable for MSPs or anything like that. They've just changed some of the wording so that it makes it less ambiguous.
Okay, so the framework is free. Do they also have training courses or things that can help you sort of work through that stuff?
They have memberships, so you can do like team memberships and corporate membership and things like that. And for those memberships, though, you get loads of discounts. Like they do their own thought leadership sessions. They're doing one in London soon on knowledge management, which is another key component that MSPs are missing at the moment, which is another conversation. And then the certification is, it's not cheap. The certification is expensive, and one of the reasons why a lot of MSPs have shied away from it, because they see service as a cost center and not a value proposition. Once an MSP sees a service desk as a value proposition, they will invest in going through certification. If they don't, they never will.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. If there was one thing that you wanted MSPs to take away from this conversation today and all the things we've talked about, what would it be?
Get out of their comfort zones. Don't just look at what MSP vendors are giving us in thought leadership. Have a look outside our space. You can learn so much from other sectors. And try as hard as you can to deliver the core components yourself and don't outsource them.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Todd.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
That was Todd McQuilkin, founder and CEO of both Air IT and Air MSP. There were a lot of things that Todd and I spoke about, and I will put links to all of them in the show notes, including that article from CRN Magazine and all the resources from SDI, their certification and their event, and of course, Todd's contact details. You'll find all of those links at ovic.com/franklymsp/042. There really is a lot to dig into on this topic, so I invite you over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn to talk to Todd and other MSPs about SDI, productivity, insourcing versus outsourcing. So do pop over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn and join the conversation. I'll put a link to the community in the show notes at ovic.com/franklymsp/042. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.